Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each podcast, we'll be tackling questions that parents are asking about family life, parenting, work life, and so much more. So join us on this journey of discovery together.
Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast. My name is EJ and I am your host for this episode. In this episode, we are going to talk about fatherhood and specifically on this term that we've probably been hearing around called good father. What makes a good father? How do you define it? Is it about providing financially, setting boundaries, maybe spending more quality time with your children? Perhaps it's a blend of all these things, underpinned by clear values and principles that guide fatherhood. So today, in our episode of Parent Podcast, I'm very excited to welcome back a dear friend, as well as a regular writer on our Focus column, Kelvin, back on the second time on the Parent Podcast. Welcome back, Kelvin.
Hi, EJ. Thank you for having me here.
All right, man. And just in case for those of us who are tuning in and listening to you for the first time, why don't you take us through and help us understand more about yourself?
Okay, sure. So to listeners, my name is Kelvin, and I've been a father now for 16 years. Two sons, one is 16 and the other one is 14. So I'm right smack in the whole teenage parenting era. So hands up if you are crying for help, I am with you. I get it. I'm also a mostly stay-home father, but I'm also an adjunct polytechnic lecturer for the last 7 years. So in between teaching and parenting, I do a lot of writing. I am often invited as well on podcasts to talk about my views. But I have to be very clear that when I was first approached by Focus on the Family for this podcast episode, I was a bit reluctant. I said, what? This topic is so broad and so big, and who am I to say that I'm an expert? Because everyone's parenting journey, everyone's family is unique and different. So I can probably speak to my own experience, and listeners can take some or all of it with them if they wish to. But I really, really want to make it very clear that a lot of things I say today, I don't necessarily practice them perfectly in my own life. I know one day my children will be listening to this episode and say, ha, you said that. Are you sure or not? So I want to make a caveat right now that I am still on this journey of learning. And I think maybe what's important is the fact that you are also somebody who believes the importance of learning on this journey. So maybe less of an expert opinion, but maybe more of a fellow sojourner on this journey together. Let's walk this together and explore this topic together because it matters.
Thank you so much, Kelvin. I love your candid approach. And I think it really resonates with all of us. We are fellow wayfinders in this journey of parenting, fatherhood as well. And similar to many of us, you are just like us as a busy working parent in many ways and struggling for probably time, how to make time out for our children. And when we have time, how do we engage it purposefully with them? So let's kick off with the first question as the topic has defined, right? The good father. So Kelvin, share with us, when you think of the term a good father, what qualities or values stand out to you? And maybe has your own personal experiences or observations in life shaped this perspective?
For me, right, behind questions like how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, how to be a good parent, a teacher, you can fill in the blanks basically, is this idea of how to be a good person. So there's this basic desire fundamentally to do the right thing. This, I firmly believe, is what everyone hopes to be seen doing on a daily basis, both by themselves and maybe by others. So the challenge, of course, is to define what is the right thing, right? And how one does that on a regular basis. And from my perspective and experience, I've learned that actually it's important to step away from performance, which is the doing, and maybe look instead at the person, the being. So really being a good person, doing the right thing has more to do with who we are and less about what we actually do. It makes perfect sense because much of what we do ultimately stems from who we are in the first place. A lot of it comes from you as a unique individual, which means that how you parent or how you do something may not look the same as how I do it. But that doesn't mean that your approach is worse off or better off than mine and vice versa. By the way, just a sidebar, that actually parenting, if I use a broader term, didn't even come into popularity until the late 70s. The word parent didn't come into the vocabulary till like in the 50s. So the idea is that for the longest time in the past, people see how families are raised, how children are raised, how parenting happens in the context of communities. So there are communities where you can literally see how it's happened. So you don't think twice about it. You just parent as a community. You have people looking out for one another. So they say it's like a village you need to raise a child, right? The root of that actually comes from the fact that for many cultures across the world, people just take on the task of helping one another to raise children. And so you see children running around all over the place. There's no like, you must fulfill a certain schedule. You know, you can consider certain things. So that's what happened in the past. And I think the reason why it's changed is with industrialization, where families in the past used to pretty much stay in the same locality. If you think about the agricultural stage of history, then people are farmers, they are hunter-gatherers, they are blacksmiths and stuff. Where they live is also where they work and make a living. But with industrialization and technological advancements, right, fathers in particular started to move further away from home, into urban cities and to find work. And then they are spending more and more time away from their families, their children. And that's what's happening even today. And because of this shift, you then have situations where children don't have the benefit of both parents or even some extended family, because everyone is in that whole rat race of work and work. And because of that disconnect, right, children often are left growing up to fend for themselves. And why parenting now is such a hot topic and people talk about how to do that. So in terms of fathering, right, it's really trying to be in the space with your children on a regular basis. People always say that, oh, don't worry, I may not have much time, but when I have the time, I spend it very intentionally, very quality time. And to some extent, I agree with that. Yes, when you are with a child, you should be spending quality time, intentional time with them. But what people don't often get is that actually both quantity and quality go hand in hand. So you can't really argue a case, oh, I'm a weekend warrior parent, you know. So weekdays, I'm hard at work, bringing the bacon home and stuff. And yes, the breadwinner role is there. I am a good parent on weekends, but I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. I think the intentional parenting should be one that is done on a regular basis, daily. Now, I'm not saying that every father and mother should quit their jobs, but what I am saying is that you need to prioritize family and parenting, and your calendar has to demonstrate that. Most of us, unfortunately, if we are honest with ourselves, our calendars don't show that. Our calendars are filled with our appointments and work. And actually, a lot of that is because of the cultural shift. So maybe one thing I would say is that being a good father or good parent means you need to be aware that really parenting comes down to, hey, what can I do today with my child and myself that will deepen our relationship and connection with one another? And then, more important, build meaningful memories together. One of the things that I realized was helpful for me was that because I left full-time work 7 years ago and pivoted to part-time with the intent to be a more present father, right? I think the hours, the times I spend with my child, both quality and quantity, are invested time that is giving me dividends now as I tackle the challenges of parenting teens, because teenagers is a different ballgame. But oftentimes, because I've laid a foundation, right, I think certain things and challenges I face with my teenage son, when we argue over things, at the end of the day, I think he does understand where I come from. He doesn't see that I'm trying to win a contest with him, but it comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of really wanting the best for him, even though he may not agree with what that best is. And that can only be possible, I think, because I had spent time and he was part of that time I had with him. My calendar, the life choices I made, very clearly point to the fact that I prioritize parenting. And so if you are somebody who is thinking about how to be a good dad, a good father, maybe start with thinking about what am I doing to build meaningful memories so that in time to come, when things get a bit rough and tough, we remember what we had and we know that in the end, mommy and daddy are here and with us because they do love us and they care. And children ultimately grow well when they are in safe, secure environments. If you build that kind of ecosystem in your family, if you are somebody who is providing that environment, they have a nest, they have a home to come back to, a safe ground. And then from there, they move out to experiment, to test the world and all that. But always know that they have a home base to come back to. You know, kind of like a baseball game, right? You come back to base, right? You have that base, The parent's job is to create that, and that takes intentionality, that takes planning. It doesn't happen by accident, especially in this day and age where things are so fragmented, people are so diffuse, attention is everywhere and nowhere. Then all the more you need to plan it. I sometimes wonder about working adults. We have so many of these KPIs in the workplace, goals and mission statements and things you got to achieve by a certain deadline. Why can't we port that over to family as well? Isn't family worth a similar treatment? Maybe not too official, of course. It sounds too formal and too rigid and too structured. But the idea of making my family's well-being and the future my priority should show up.
Wow, I totally agree with you, Calvin. You know, so maybe we should have KPI on the home front, a key parenting index.
That's a good one, yes.
Just to keep us on our toes to make sure that we are really intentional, like what you say, on a daily basis. That consistency, not just a weekend parent warrior. But I really love what you have said earlier about that seeing our role as, in this case, as our topic suggests about fathers, more than just a performance, being a good dad, doing the right things and the good things, you know, case translating on a regular basis. That's where role modeling happens, spending quality time on a daily basis. You know, we may not have the luxury of quantity of time every single day, but that's where the quality kicks in as well. That's this saying that goes that we parent the way we've been parented. And as fathers, when we think of how do we want to parent our child, the easiest reference point is how our dads brought us up, right? So recently, a Focus on the Family Singapore survey regarding fatherhood involvement actually revealed that 73.6% of the respondents, many who are in their 30s to 50s, had wished that their own dads had played a greater role in their emotional development. What's your thoughts on this finding, specifically regarding like the evolving expectations of fatherhood in this modern society today, and how fathers can bridge the gap between what our children need emotionally?
Based on your Focus on Family survey, these demographics in the 30s, 50s are precisely that demographic I spoke about, where parenting started to shift and parents started to move away from their families, spending more time away from the families. And so it is probably not surprising that your survey brought up these results, that many in this age categories, right, looking back on their own childhood, wish that their fathers may have been more present. In that reality, then it was hard. So it does tell us that bringing a child up, you really require both the father and the mother to be very much present in their lives. I mean, I remember when I was growing up too, my father was very disconnected as well, and often spent a lot of time away from home. So we have to fend for ourselves as children growing up. To different degrees, some people may have be able to thrive nonetheless, but I think the majority of us will have lingering doubts, self-doubts about ourselves, because we have not had the benefit of connected parenting to help us to navigate what it is growing up. And I have two sons, right? I have two brothers as well. So I remembered that growing up and moving into the teenage age, right, I wanted so much to understand what it means to transition from childhood to adulthood, because that's the transition season. And really, if you don't have a male model regularly present in your life to model that behavior for you for adulthood, right, then you end up having to navigate it on your own, and it's a much harder journey to make. So that points to the importance of why we need to have the father more present in the lives of children and teenagers in those important growing up years. And when that is missing, then you find that a lot of fathers today are sometimes struggling with how to parent better, and they may go one of two ways. One is, like for me, I double down on trying to read up, learn, find out as much as I can so that when my kids come, I'm prepared for it. Or you just say, you know what, it was like that for me, it's okay, it'll be alright for my kids too. But to me, that's a very huge risk that we take. And of course, it's hard because a lot of these effects don't show up immediately, but they will show up down the line. And the unfortunate thing is that most of the time when it shows up, it's usually quite negative. It could have been a better way, or you don't grow up with a lot of gaps in your knowledge, in your understanding of the world, the values you hold, your beliefs. And when you have that, then it complicates a lot of times how we navigate life. I say this because I find that one of the important things parents need to do is to be present to affirm your child's identity. You have to do that on a regular basis. As they grow up, you watch them grow, you see their characteristics, their personality showing up, and you nurture that, you affirm that, you see who your child was inherently meant to be And the earlier you see that, the earlier you can create the environment for that personality to really take off and grow. But if you're not around, and then oftentimes a lot of busy parents come back after a hard day's work, you're all about functionality. Okay, have you done your homework? Have you completed all the household chores? Have you done this, this and that? And it becomes very transactional. Then you're just importing ethics from the work and corporate world into a family world, and that doesn't work. It's a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't work that way. You have to make sure that you wear a different hat completely when you're with your kids, as compared to when you're at a workplace, where you then have to really be intentional. Sometimes people avoid it because it's a lot of hard work. The outcomes are never certain. In the working world, it's quite certain. Because of the fact that you're talking about little human beings growing up, one day this works, next week it doesn't work at all, and you're back to square one. As parents listening on this episode, you know what I'm talking about, right? That is the dynamics, but that's also the beauty of it. If listeners forget everything else we talk about today, EJ, then I think this idea of being present needs to stay with us. If it's a teenage son, sometimes just sending a text to your son. If they're younger, then spending playtime with them, letting the children oftentimes take the lead. Hey, what do you want to do today, you know? Even be bored, let's be bored together. Let's watch a movie together. Let's do things. Well, let's just go down to the neighborhood shop and buy some ice cream, whatever. It can be very simple things. But what you're doing is you're investing like a, it's like an emotional bank account. And when you're doing that, you're trying to invest time, you're building memories. The children don't really always remember everything that we did, the activities, the events, but they remember how you made them feel. Our body remembers feelings a lot longer than our conscious mind does. And so you need to be aware of this and then make the time, be intentional, think through how you're going to build these memories over time. Sometimes you plan for it, sometimes it happens spontaneously. Allow for a lot of flexibility in that, but build it, because if you don't, then your child is just going to be raised by the world.
For all the working parents, you all know this thing called ROI, right? The return on investment for the world. And I feel like in the same way, in parenting, you know, you do have to invest the time, the intentionality, the quality and the quantity time and all that. And you don't see the immediate results, but yet there will be that return, that ROI that comes back to benefit the entire family. When you see in the teenage years, the child is sensible, when you see that they are responsible, and these are because of the fruits of your labor, even in the earlier years as well. So I'm really thankful for Kelvin for this reminder about our daily efforts of being present with our children. It will not go unnoticed. It will be impactful in the longer runway. As a dad, 16 years, what are some core values in you, in your family, that you really treasure a lot? And how do you translate some of these values to your boys as you interact with them?
I think each family will have probably their own set of values, but I think that for our family, it's important for us to be united. It's important for us to have empathy. So we try to build these things into our lifestyle as much as we can, helping our children be aware of the world, what's going on, trying to make the children aware that the world is bigger than their living room. Making them aware of these things is an important value for us, empathy. Listening is important. I know this is very hard. It happens so many times that sometimes I get very frustrated. I also go into the same situation, but listening and attention is a very, very limited resource in today's world. Most of us have attention spans that are so short because we are so fragmented. So helping to build better listening, better attention into our children is important, which is a very, very difficult challenge because of the digital age we live in now. And there's so many reasons not to pay attention, but to jump to your next TikTok video and to put out your next OOTD Insta reel for the day. And so all these things pull at it, and it's an important value for us to try and rein those back. My eldest one has a mobile phone and he's 16, but my youngest one still doesn't have a phone. I'm trying to hold that for as long as I can. Remember when he started his school this year, I asked the teacher, do you really need your students a phone? No, no. I said, oh, good. So we'll sing the same song, okay? You tell the students you don't need a phone and I will remind my son. That's what the teacher says. So of course, if he's asking for it, I said no, because I know and I can see how the ramifications of these distractions. So having these values are important because it gives us then time to be a family together, to spend time together, to connect. And it's not that I've succeeded. I think there's still many days I struggle with it. Especially my 16-year-old, sometimes he wants to do his own thing. Like just last week, went to a hawker center nearby and we said after the meal, let's take a walk. No, I want to go back home. So he'll just go back on his own. There will still be struggles, but not giving up, I think, is an important value to still try. And as you said earlier, just sometimes you don't know the effects of what we do, but if you keep at it, someday down the road, you will see the fruits of what you've done. And I think, for me, I think that's very important as a value too, to stay in the friction, stay in the difficulty as a parent. Actually, having children is not so much about the child, but it's about the parent, helping the parent to grow ourselves. We learn a lot, actually. It's like growing a new dimension, but, oh, I didn't know I could be so impatient. I didn't know I could be so caring. You know, I didn't know that my heart could expand love from one child to a second child. And so these things can't happen until we are in this phase of life where we are parenting. And so I always say that my children are also my teachers. And I think if parents can maybe just spend a bit of time to recognize that, right, then it becomes a symbiotic relationship.
Indeed, our children can also be our teacher. I think that's such wisdom in that as well. And the reason we want to talk about values is also that we live in a world, like Kelvin, you've rightfully mentioned, so there's so much distraction, there's so much emphasis on the doings a lot of time that prevents us or challenges us from being with our kids. When we are with our children, we can also be very caught up in the transactional doings. Spelling due already or not, you know, homework finished already or not, today teacher complained about you. There's so many doing things that we're trying to get caught up with. But I feel like as we spend quality or quantity time with our children, there's also that need, and when you've done it so, as a role model example for many of us as well, is bringing the values part, to tie in the actions and the values, that whatever you are doing with them, it is because of a value that as a family we believe in. So I really strongly encourage all parents as you're listening in, if you have not had a sit-down session as a family to discuss about maybe some key values as a family, mm-hmm. Family values that you believe in, it's good to put it in place.
Yes.
We are both working fathers, and there are many working fathers listening to as well. And one of the common quote-unquote complaints that many busy working fathers or parents is that, I don't know how to get this started. I'm so busy with my work. I'm so busy with this. And that, just as this closing segment for fathers, what are some simple, practical steps that we can take today to build stronger, better emotional connections with our children?
Maybe a little short model that we can use that's easy to remember, and I call it the ABC of the do's. So A stands for apprenticeship. So apprenticeship means that the whole move from agricultural to manufacturing industry and the move away, fathers, come back to your children. Spend time with them, just sit with them, even if it's just 5 minutes or even 1 minute. I know sometimes it's very hard to even get 5 minutes. Just sit with them and say, tell me about your day. And just sit back and listen to them. Let me really listen. I think listening and focus and attention is a lost art, unfortunately. People are taking it more like, you know, those light dimmers where you can adjust the intensity of brightness, right? So attention is like that. Actually, it should not be. Attention should just be an on-off switch. If you switch it on, you're 100% with your child. Just sit there, listen. You don't have to prejudge or prepare an answer. Let them say it to you. And if they say things like, oh, like that, ask another question. And just be physically there with that child is a very important step to show that I'm with you. And my phone is in another room. Daddy doesn't have his phone with me. I'm with you. Tell me about it, how it is. So that's one thing you can do. Go for a meal once a week outside, maybe, and take the opportunity to talk about things that you see and experience. I mean, that doesn't take much. We all have to eat anyway, right? So just do that. Watch a show together and talk about the things that you see. There's lots of good stuff out there, a lot of bad stuff too, but that's also where the adult comes in to help to find the right fit for the child. So these little things you can do to help. Send a text if your child are older, they have a phone. Send a text and say, hey, you know, thinking about you, how are you doing? And these are little things that may not seem like much, they're not your fireworks stuff, but they do sow seeds into the garden that is your child. So instead of thinking of it like a carpentry, where you're creating a very fixed structured thing, right? Think of it as like you're a gardener. You're just starting to sow seeds, maybe water a bit, till the soil, and then you sit back and watch those things happen. Be very intentional in that. That's part of apprenticeship. And for centuries, right, a lot of cultures have that kind of thing where fathers pass on a skill. It could be any skill. Like in my case, I teach in polytechnics, right? I teach writing, presentation, media, communication skills, right? Part of those things come into my play as well at home, where I talk to my children about stories, I talk about writing, I talk about expressing, how to communicate. So these are skills your child will best learn from you. You're the most important adult. So that's A, apprenticeship. Second one is B. B stands for be present, available, attentive. I think this one, no need to explain too much, right? We've talked about it quite a lot already. And then the last one is C. And C is connect for meaning. So always remember at the end of the day, the question is, what is it I want to bequeath to our children, to leave, that my children can remember me, you know? long after I'm 6 feet under, I'm gone. What will my child remember about me? And so when you have that question at the back of your mind, everything you do today, tomorrow, should fit into that ultimate KPI. The ultimate thing is that, what do I want to pass down? The idea behind that is to just make sure that you are connecting, being human. And I think also connecting isn't just limited to just father and son. Fathers should also find their own tribe to connect. I've been very blessed in the last 2 years that I have helped to manage a community of stay-at-home fathers. Some are stay-at-home, some are part-time working. And we have grown from like six of us to like close to 100 now in 2 years. And we call ourselves The Ordinary Dad. You can actually find us online. So The Ordinary Dad community is basically a community where fathers support one another in a journey as fathers, prioritizing parenting, but not knowing how to do it. And just having a tribe, a community to talk to and connect with, is actually very important too. So there's also connection at that level too. We have a lot of exchanges of ideas. And sometimes it's not about just solving a problem too. It's just about sitting together with a problem and just say, okay, let's just support one another through it. I hear you, I'm there. And when you have that kind of community, it will somewhere translate also to your parenting. And so I would urge listeners as a parting words that, you know, have these ABCs. Apprenticeship your child. Be present, attentive to your child. And then connect for meaning, not just for the sake of going through emotion, but to really deeply connect with your children. I think that's very, very important.
Such wonderful wisdom. I wanted to ask you for a nugget, but you gave me three. ABC. I'm so blessed. And I think all of us who have been tuning in, I have really been enriched by you. My heart was strangely warm when I hear what you mentioned about apprenticeship to our children. Because as I hear all the under apprenticeship, maybe the many things that we could do with our children or we can do for our children, they are not actually very grand and new things.
No.
I mean, if you're a parent of a teenager listening in, these are probably things that you used to do for your child when they're in primary school. And I think it's about persevering also to keep doing it. Even when sometimes at the teenage years, they don't give you the immediate response that you used to see, but doesn't mean they don't receive it. I was talking to my 10-year-old son recently, you know, and up to today, 4 years in primary school, I still have the habit of walking him to school, holding his hand and walking him to school. But this year has been a bit challenging.
Okay.
Because he has been telling me, say, that he wants to go to school by himself.
Okay.
Because apparently at that age, this is like the cool thing to do, independence, you know, and all the children, his classmates are doing it. And if the dad walks into the school gate, you know, if the classmates see it, classmates may snigger a joke or laugh at him, you know. So that was beginning of the year. He wanted to do it alone, but I insisted. I said that this is daddy's time with you and I want to walk with you and I hold your hand because I love you. What other families do, that's their family. But for us, in my family, between daddy and you, I want to walk you to school. As we entered this second term, he suddenly told me one day, that he enjoyed walking with me to the school.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And he said that, you know, not all of his friends have it, some of their daddies are busy, not around. And wow, I didn't actually do anything new, but I just pressed on to keep doing this, something that I believe in. It's just that 5-10 minutes walk. Honestly, I could have just let him go off by his own. Our house is just like 5-10 minutes away.
Right.
He could have done it by himself, but pressing on. And I think that's a big encouragement for all our parent listeners as well. You know, things like watching a show together, having a conversation, taking time to check in with them. You know, listening is so hard, Kelvin. I don't know how you do it, but listening for all parents sometimes is very hard, right? Because
it's very hard.
We want to jump in with our listicles of, you should do this, you should do that, you should do that, and not. But I think there reap great rewards in the relationship with the child.
Absolutely, really absolutely.
So thank you for giving us this encouragement, as well as fellow dads too. And before I allow you to leave our episode, and I do hope you come back for a third time with us, I want to give you a space to give a closing encouragement to all fathers, mothers who are listening to our Parent Podcast episode.
I just want to reassure parents listening in that actually, parenting is not about perfection. So a lot of what we say, like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of things actually I feel very overwhelmed. Actually, don't be, because I'll be very honest, I don't necessarily make it for even half the things I've said. But parenting is not about perfection. Parenting is about affection. It's about your love for your child and the things you do, and you're going to fail. I'm sorry, I give you a heads up, you're going to fail. But it's about picking yourself up and say, okay, today wasn't so great, let's try tomorrow. And just like you said, pressing on. Let's press on together, and you don't have to journey this alone. I know Focus on Family is really intentional about helping parents and families, so there are resources out there. You can live with other parents, talk to people, talk to teachers. We have one common goal, which is for the betterment of our children, right? And along their journey, it will play out in different ways, to look different, but just don't give up and don't try to be a perfect parent. You won't succeed. There is no such thing. But rather, within the resources of that day, what's the best I can make of it? And you just give your best. And don't be so hard on yourself when the children don't respond the way you expect them to, which oftentimes they don't. But just press on. Don't give up. Because this is a long game. But the benefits of it, I tell you, we'll see you through for a lifetime. So that's my encouragement to your listeners.
Thank you so much, Kelvin, for sharing with us your insights, your wisdom, and just being that fellow wayfinder in that journey as a father, as a parent as well. I really believe that all our listeners have benefited from this episode. And as you have rightfully said so earlier, it takes a village to raise a child. The village is not just for the child, the village is for us as parents too.
And actually, it also takes a child to raise a village too, you know, it's both ways.
A child can contribute to raising this in this village as well.
Yes.
So for all who are listening in, Focus on the Family Singapore works hard to be this village for all of us here, providing a resource. So if you're looking for more parenting resource, do visit our website at family.org.sg/resources. Or if you would like to read up on our monthly newsletter, you can subscribe it at family.org.sg/subscribe. So thank you so much for taking time to tuning in to our Parent Podcast. Stay tuned and continue to grow in your parenting journey together with us.